Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here once again. I thank the Lord once again for the opportunity and the privilege. And again, I'd like to ask Brother Kevin if you would lead us in prayer first. Again, Pastor asked me about a week ago, today actually, to do this service, and I kept praying for the Lord to give me a subject. Saturday, I hadn't been feeling well, and I woke about 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. Then the Lord gave me a subject. See, sometimes it's good things can happen when we are sick. The subject the Lord gave me was Thanksgiving. Well, I come to church on Sunday morning, and that was Pastor's message, Thanksgiving. I thought, what do I do now? He basically used the same scriptures. I got home, prayed, and the Lord gave me assurance about that subject. I talked to Pastor, and he told me the same thing. There were two things Pastor spoke of, and the Lord led me to dig a little deeper on those two things. One thing that he had mentioned was from the heart, to have thanksgiving from the heart. And what he said is how you can train a child to say thank you, but is it really from the heart? But is it really from the heart? I find myself much of the time since I've been saved in 1994 not thankful from the heart. Not thankful from the heart. Why? And that's the next thing that I want to talk about. See, either not knowing how sinfully depraved we are, or forgetting how sinfully depraved that we are. For me, many times it's forgetting who I am and where I came from. That's always been my biggest problem. The first thing I want to talk about is the insignificance of man. The insignificance of man. If you turn with me to Job chapter 7, just how insignificant is man? And we'll read in verse 17. And the verse declares, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him," or the Lord? What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? In Job chapter 25, if you turn with me there, and we'll read verses 4 through 6. Declares, "How then can man be justified with God?" Of course, we know only through Christ. But the point that he's making is, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Verse 5, "Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not yet pure in his sight," that is God's sight. "How much less is man that is a worm?" And Psalms 8 and verse 4 declares, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" David says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou shouldest visitest him?" Our insignificance, see, it's when we understand what we are and where we came from, that's what will produce from the heart a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. That's what's worked for me for 15 years. And I looked at that word thanksgiving. Brother Dean Smith, just before he passed away, he went out and got me a Vines dictionary. And I love that so much. I've used that so much, and it's been such a blessing. But I looked at that word thanksgiving. And it says, for the word thankfulness, or thanksgiving, for the means of which see grace. See grace. So then I looked up that word grace. And it says, that which bestows or occasions pleasure. That's what grace is. That which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard. See, I am more thankful from my heart when I remember who I am and where I came from. See, I never had favorable regard until God blessed me with his grace. On the part of the bestower, which is God, it says the friendly disposition. The friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds. And those two words caught my eye. The word friendly and kindly act. You know, when I think of who I am and where I came from, I never once deserved God's friendship. That is for him to grant me that grace. And I never deserved that kindly act that he did for me in 1994. But I'm more thankful of that when I remember who I am and where I came from. And it also says, on the part of the bestower, the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds, especially with reference to divine favor or grace. Grace expresses stress on its freeness and universality, its spontaneous character. So I looked for that word spontaneous, which means or self-originated, voluntary, acting by its own impulse, without my merit. That's what God's grace did. Acting by its own impulse, as in the case of God's redemptive mercy and the pleasure or joy he designs for the recipient. See, it's his grace and the pleasure and the joy he designs for the recipients. Well, that also gives him the right to choose who are going to be the recipients of his grace. And John 6:37 declares, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. He also said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. See, it's when we remember who we are and where we came from, that's when we'll understand what grace means, which will produce thanksgiving from the heart. Which will produce thanksgiving from the heart. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 4, what I want to talk about is my debt that Christ paid for, that God's grace paid for. I want to dig a little deeper into that. I want to talk about my debt. When it comes to salvation, again, I think about, and again, I'm more thankful at the times I think about what I was before and where I came from. When it comes to the salvation he granted me, to all the sinful things that I committed before 1994, they were horrific. They were horrible, sinful things that I did before 1994. And those things that come to my mind produces my heart to have more thanksgiving for the kindly act that he performed for me in 1994. I've had people tell me for 15 years saying, Dennis, you weren't that bad of a person or a son. But I tell them very clearly and very plainly, if I tell them or if I tell you that some of the things that I've done in my past, it would make the hairs on your neck stand up. And I'm confident and sure of that. But see, it's when we remember who we are and where we came from is when we'll be more thankful for what God has done for us. I remember just after I was saved, before God gave me the assurance of my salvation. What is assurance of salvation? Assurance of salvation is a stage of spiritual maturity or growth. It's a person who's already been saved and they grow spiritually and God leads their faith to be stronger. And I remember just after I was saved, before God gave me that assurance of my salvation, I would think with my finite mind, this was only 6 to 8 months after I was saved in this little apartment, and I would think with my finite mind, those are some really bad things that I've done in the past. Did Christ really pay for all of them? Satan would lead me to scriptures of doubting salvation. Then God would lead me to scriptures of full salvation. This went on for a couple weeks until the Lord personally revealed to me what Matthew 1:21 means. If you turn with me there, and we'll read those verses. Matthew 1:21 declares, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." See, that word sins is very important. It's got an S on the end of that word sin. That means all the sins of your past, present, and future. All the sins of your lifetime, Jesus Christ paid for all of them once. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, Colossians 1, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, that is Christ, even the forgiveness of sins." See, there's that S on the end again. That's the sins of all of our life. That is our past, present, and future sins. Christ died for all of them. He paid the price for all of them. In Ephesians 2, 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." With that S on the end. The sins of, and in 1 John chapter 3, basically saying the same thing. And verse 5 declares, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." Right there's that S on the end again. And in him is no sin. And in 1 John 4:10 declares, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." And there's that S again. On the end of sin. That's the sins of our past, present, and future. Christ paid for them all. Either, as Pastor said Sunday, either he paid for all of them or he didn't pay for none. But again, with that S on the end, what that means is all the sins of your past, present, and future. And I'll never forget when the Lord unveiled to me in Hebrews chapter 10, which has always been a special blessing to me. And in verses 10 through 14 declares, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, that is Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins," there's that S on the end again, "forever sat down at the on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever." He hath perfected forever by one offering them that are sanctified. Again, when I remember who I am and where I came from, that alone just causes me to be more thankful for the grace that he blessed me with in 1994. I'll never forget when the Lord gave me that assurance of my salvation. Not my salvation, but the assurance of my salvation. I was working at Mitchell's Supermarket, working in the deli. Brother Don Titus showed up the day following, and I told him, "Brother Titus, I know I'm saved." He says, "How do you know?" He says, "How do you know?" I stopped for a moment and I thought for a moment. Then, with a smile on my face from ear to ear, I says, "I just know. I just know." And he says, "Praise the Lord." If you turn me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with Brother Dean Smith, when I was staying at his place, when the Lord first opened my eyes to these verses, I couldn't help but thank him for the blessing that he blessed me with. And in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 13 and 14. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and in belief of the truth. Whereunto," and this is what touched my heart, "he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." I remember that day I walked out of the bedroom and I read these verses to Brother Dean Smith. I told him, I says, "I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be a part of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't deserve that, Brother Dean." He says, "You know, Dennis, you are right. You are right. See, the more we remember who we are and where we came from, the more thankful that we will be from our hearts. From our hearts. In Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Again, as I said, I wanted to talk about my debt. See, the more I remember it, the more from the heart I'm thankful. The more from the heart I'm thankful. And then now to talk about our lives, the privilege that we have to be a part of the active cause and agenda of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That agenda is still alive and active today. No matter how bad this world gets, it will always be active and alive and working. And what a privilege he has given to those that he has saved to be a part of his cause and his agenda. But you know something? In order to be and to maintain an appreciation for being blessed to be a part of his cause and agenda, we cannot forget who we are and where we came from. And then we'll appreciate it more and more. It works for me. It works for me. David also says in Psalms 39, David here was already saved. In Psalms chapter 39, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. David says, Lord, make me to know mine end. Make me to know mine end. And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. See, David still, although he was saved, he still wanted to know how frail he was. He still wanted to know what he was and where he came from. Well, the Lord showed him, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing. And my age is as nothing before thee. And he says, verily, or that word verily means truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show, even the best of the best. Surely they are disquieted in vain, and he heapeth up riches, and know not who shall gather them. And he says in verse 7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. See, that's why it's important for us to remember who we are and where we came from, so we'll always know where our hope is, that our hope is always in him. My greatest enemy, I want to talk about. Again, I remember this was only 4 to 6 weeks after I was saved, that I remember this miraculous experience, that is God delivering me from my addiction to cigarettes. I'll never forget that. I mean, you can't have a close encounter and experience with God and then just forget it. And God made it very clear that who performed that? He did. He made sure that I'll never forget that. But he also used it also to teach me something else. See, I was saved only 4 to 6 weeks when I experienced this. That is, after God had delivered me from my addiction to cigarettes. God used that experience to show me my greatest enemy. I remember after God had delivered me, I was filled with so much spiritual excitement and joy. I felt I was, me, myself, and I, on top of the world. After 4 or 5 days, Dennis had already forgotten who had delivered me. Or I had already forgotten who I was and where I came from. All it took was 4 or 5 days. 4 or 5 days. Well, right after that had happened, after only 4 or 5 days, these thoughts came to my mind. I thought, me, myself, and I don't drink anymore. I don't do drugs. I don't commit fornication or practice ungodly sex. And I said in my mind and in my heart, I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore. I thought, I'm pretty righteous. Wrong answer. The Lord wanted to teach me something here by that experience. My heart dropped to my stomach because it was filled with so much heaviness. Remember, I'm just a babe in Christ. You know, I didn't know what in the world hit me. I'm wondering what in the world is going wrong. And it was here that God began to reveal to me my greatest enemy, myself. Myself. See, before the Lord saved me, he revealed to me I was a sinner. But after the Lord had saved me, he revealed to me how sinful I was, or totally depraved, totally depraved. God began to give me the ability to see and be conscious or aware of what my sinful flesh was capable of. And the word conscience means to be aware of one's own existence and environment, to be aware of facts and objects. God led me to these verses, and I'll just read them off quickly for time's sake. But God led me to these verses, and I wrote these verses down. And it was almost 14 years later that God helped me to put them together and to put all this here together, you know. But he led me to Job 14:4, declares, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Job 14:1 and 2 declares, "A man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Full of trouble. And it's been that way for 15 years for me. God also revealed to me in Romans 8:7 that I was born with a carnal mind, which is at enmity against him, or has a deep hatred against God. That's what my carnal mind is. It's at enmity against God, and that it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. God revealed to me in James 3:7 and 8 that every kind of birds and beasts is tamed of man. But God revealed to me that I was born with a tongue full of deadly poison, which no man can tame. It's an unruly evil, even after you're saved. Even after you're saved. In Proverbs 16:2, God revealed to me that I was born with eyes that will always lead me to believe that all of my ways are clean. That all of my ways are clean. See, it's our flesh that will help us forget who we are and where we came from. That's what's been doing for me for 15 years. And then that's what causes me to have a spirit of ingratitude and not thankful for what God has done for me. God revealed to me in Jeremiah 17:9 that I was born with a heart more deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In Genesis 8:21, the Lord declares the imagination of our heart is evil from our youth. In Job 15:16, how much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. There is nothing more deceitful than my heart. Paul declared in Romans 7:17 and 18 in verse 21, there is no good thing that dwells within my flesh. Nothing good. Nothing good. And it's when we remember that is when we'll be more thankful to the Lord. When God revealed to me my sinful, depraved nature, I remember thinking, how is a child of God to serve him? These thoughts came to my mind. I thought, how is a child of God to serve him and to live a life pleasing to him? When God revealed to me that this was the state of humanity, I thought, how is mankind functioning or even alive? How is mankind functioning or even alive? At this particular place and at this particular time, and only the Lord can bring you personally to this place, our Lord began to give me the ability to see and be conscious or aware of what my sinful flesh was capable of. I began to see my flesh. Remember, I'm only saved 4 to 6 weeks. I began to see my flesh as a very dangerous weapon, like a loaded gun, armed and very dangerous. Think of this weapon, what it can do in the wrong hands or if left to itself. I remember I was overwhelmed by this great multitude that was against me, and I remember having a spirit of fear against myself, against my flesh, and against this enemy, when the Lord showed me what this enemy was capable of. In closing, if you turn with me to in Genesis 32:10, we're going to hear from Jacob. Again, we'll always feel this, feel thankful and appreciative for what God has done for us when we remember who we are and where we came from. In Genesis chapter 32, and we'll read in verse 10. Jacob declares, although he didn't say thanks or thank you, but this is what he meant. He says, "I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies, of all thy mercies, and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." That's the way we all are. But it's a matter of us remembering who we are and where we came from. And that will always produce a spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts. from our hearts. David declares in 2 Samuel. Chapter 7. And we'll read verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" You know, what a privilege and a blessing it is to be saved by his grace, to be a part of one of his true churches. But again, once again, what helps me to be appreciative and more thankful more is when I always remember who I am and where I came from. Brother Tim, will you come, please?